It is the book and the proclamation of it that once made this a great nation, that once blessed this nation, and of course, well, brought life and brought hope, happiness, joy, peace to this nation. But instead of Bible reading, we have, all kinds of serious addictions, you know, habits that are not good at all. But maybe I could suggest to you this afternoon that maybe the habit of reading the Bible for yourself, what an input that might mean to your life and existence. Instead of the doom and gloom, instead of the decline and decadence, who knows, but maybe God will speak to you, and who knows, but perhaps you will find life eternal. Message of the Bible, of course, is a message of life. Life that is, as opposed to just mere existence, which of course, as you all already have, eternal life, eternal hope, overflowing abundance of life is what Jesus says that he came to bring. But maybe perhaps you've never read the Bible for yourself. This is an opportunity for you to take a copy of at least an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel. It will give you an overview, a summary of what the Bible is all about and the eternal life, of course, that is presented to you, offered to you through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it's offered to you without charge, cost, or obligation to you, totally and absolutely free. About the only thing in the marketplace today that indeed is free, the gospel, eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Maybe perhaps you haven't read the Bible for some time, or maybe never at all, or perhaps maybe not today. Let me, if I may, share a few words from the Bible with you this afternoon. John's Gospel, chapter 1, it reads in this way. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but of God. So reads God's precious and holy Word, the Word of course that is able to bring and to produce life in your soul. You'll notice that the Bible there says that all things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And of course, well, right from the get-go, you have to understand that you weren't hatched in some primordial sludge. You're not the accident of evolution. You're a creature made by God, made in love, to be loved, and to love. But of course, life, love, light, these are commodities that can only be gotten from God in Jesus Christ. Without Him, you remain lifeless. Without Him, you remain in darkness. And without Him, you have no love either. You may have some measure of affection for certain people, but that's not the love of which the Bible speaks. God is love, and those who are born of Him love as He does. You see, we're talking about life, we're talking about love, we're talking about light, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In fact, the whole Bible, you could say, is about Him. The golden thread that weaves its way through the entirety of the Bible from start to finish is about a person, and that person, his name is Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son, who came into the world to reveal God to us, to make Him known to us, that we might know Him, know Jesus Christ, and have eternal life. Life, I say. Jesus, He says in John's Gospel, that whoever feeds on Me, he also will live because of Me. You see, people, without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Existence, yes. You can look all kinds of places for life. And of course, well, many, many people do so. They say, I just want to live. I want to experience life in all its fullness. And of course, you turn to the world. You turn to look for all kinds of experiences. And some people, well, they turn to a greater degree of social life. Some they turn to drink and drugs. And, well, you look to all kinds of things and all kinds of places looking for life. But life is not to be found in this world. Why? Because it's a veil of death. You're surrounded by it. Every which way you look, every news bulletin, every newspaper you pick up, look and see, come back and tell me if I speak wrongly. But every single shred of news that you read is about death somewhere. War, famine, violence, you name it. The world can only produce death. It cannot produce life. There's only one person can do that, and that's the author of life, Jesus Christ Himself. That's what He means when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Those are not just simply funeral verses, verses to be spoken at the time of someone's death. They proclaim, they declare, or rather Jesus Christ does, declares that He is the one who is able to give, the one who is able to affect life in you, in your soul. Jesus, in the same chapter of the Bible, is referred to as the bread of life. bread, of course, is essential to life. You cannot live without food. You need bread on your tables day by day, or you would soon expire, you would soon die. You would not have life in you. And likewise, well, with the bread of life, you cannot have spiritual, you cannot have eternal life. Without Jesus, that's an impossibility, for he and he alone is the living, that is, the life-giving bread. But of course, Jesus is the food, the bread, that transforms a person. You know, makes the soul fat instead of the body. The ordinary food, material food, of course, of which you partake day by day, well, for some people, overfeeding on such, well, it leads to, as we well know, obesity of all kinds, and therefore we have to diet and exercise to get rid of the effects of it. But there's one kind of bread that you cannot overdo. You can feed yourself as much as you like. You can be an absolute glutton as far as the bread of life is concerned. That will do you no harm, none whatsoever. It will simply and only fatten your soul, which is a good thing. But Jesus, you see, is the one who makes for life, life that is in your soul. He is the spring of supernatural, eternal life. It begins with him, feeding upon him, that is, trusting, believing in Jesus. That's the beginning of life. You have not even begun to live until you have believed, trusted in, received the bread of life, Jesus Christ himself. And he is the one, of course, as you continue to feed on him, the one who sustains that life, and the one, of course, well, who brings it to a consummation in the glory of heaven, everlasting and eternal life. So if there's a body who would live forever, gloriously, happily, well, Jesus, he's your man, he's the person, the Son of God. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. So the life, you see, that's to be acquired through Jesus, well, it's a spiritual feeding, not carnally feeding on the person of Jesus. The flesh, Jesus tells us, profits nothing. It's the Spirit who gives life. This is why I say to you, it is about a person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is not about a religion. Religion will not bring you life. It will just bring you more death. It will just bring you more bondage. Not religion, but Jesus, the Son of God, the bread of life. He, people, coming to him in faith, feeding upon him, that, my people, is how one acquires eternal abundance of life. Life of grace, that is, as opposed to death. You see, the Bible tells me that we are all of us in a state of death already. Dead, the Bible says, in our trespasses and sins. Legally dead as far as God is concerned. No life in us. We're born in that state. We come into the world in that condition. Cut off from God, separated from him as a result of our sins and iniquities. And people, the only one who can put life, who can put the life of grace into our souls, you see, it's of grace. The life that Jesus gives, it comes to a person by the grace of God, the gift of God. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be religious for it. You don't have to be respectable for it. You don't have to be anything for it. You just simply and only have to receive it. Take, stretch out the hand of faith and receive the life of grace, the gift of God, the wages of sin, well, eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And of course this life, well, that Jesus speaks of, whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. The life that is of God's favor, as opposed to alienation from God. Again, you see, the Bible tells us that we are alienated from God. The sinful mind is hostile to God. We're at war with God. Many people, oh, they would love to have peace. I've heard people say to me, oh, that I just had a measure of peace in my life. Friends, how can there ever be peace in your life, in your heart, your home, your family, in your society, in your nation, in the world, as long as humanity is alienated from God and at war with God? It's an impossibility. Peace has to be made first. An end of the war must come first. Who knows, people? Maybe soon, I don't know, I hope not, but maybe the entirety of Europe will be thrown into another bloody war because of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine at the moment. Oh, I certainly hope not, but there's a good chance of it. Why? Because men are always at war with one another. We're always fighting one another. You fight with your neighbors. You come out for a good time into the town center of a night, and what do we find? People fighting with one another. There is no peace. There can never be any peace until we make peace with God. Then and then only will we know an end of the alienation from God. Then and only then will we know peace with God, the life of God's favor. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. Jesus is the one, you see, who makes an end of the alienation a possibility. Why? Because he made peace by the blood of his cross. He died to make peace, so that trusting in him, you might know the life of God's favor. A life, of course, it means of obedience to God. Living in gospel obedience, first of all, trusting in Jesus, because that's God's command for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's God's will for you, each and every one. But it's because we live in disobedience. We live in lawlessness. All over the land there's turmoil. There's uncleanness and violence. There's Sabbath breaking. There's, all the troubled social problems that you see in your society today, they come from one source and one only, that is our lawlessness. That's what sin is. Disobedience to God's holy laws. And those laws, of course, of God's, not the state's. It doesn't matter what the government legislates for, if it's opposed to God's law, well, people, it's the lawlessness. And it's that law, it's those commandments of God that one day you'll be judged by. So people, a life of obedience is what you need. That will bring tranquility. That will bring wholesomeness. That will bring flourishment to your nation, your community, your own family, and your own lives. But it begins by feeding on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. It begins with gospel obedience, trusting in Jesus, in the Son of God. a life of comfort. Opposed, that is, to the dissatisfaction and the stress that people find themselves having to endure in these days. Think about what you've got coming in the future. I don't know. For some of you, it will be sickness. There'll be afflictions of all kind. Family breakdown, marriage breakdown, bereavement. And then, of course, maybe sickness yourself. And who knows? Well, maybe it's just around the corner. You just don't know from one minute to the next what's going to happen, come crowding into your life, maybe even death itself. How will you face, I ask you, all the miseries that men and women have to face in life, and then finally facing death? I ask you, without the comfort of eternal life, without the comfort of the presence of Jesus in your heart and life, I ask you, how will you bear, how will you cope with, how will you overcome such? People, I ask you to think seriously about these things. You want a life of comfort. You want the comfort and blessing and goodness and forgiveness of God and the hope of eternal life. Well, here's the answer, people. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. But then, of course, I emphasize, it's life that's eternal. That is opposed to the decadence that you see in society today and the death that you see. Surely, people, we are a nation that has already died. We're just awaiting the burial, that's all. Our young people are dead. Our young people have no life in them, given over to drugs, alcohol, and all kinds of uncleanness, and all the stuff of the world. You can give them what you will, give them all the technology, give them everything that they stamp their feet for and want, but people, that will not bring life to them. That will not put life into their souls. You give them the freedom, you set them loose. Go and do your own thing. Enjoy yourself, be happy. And what do? They go out and destroy themselves. Death, people, is writ large all over your nation. No life, nothing but decadence, nothing but rottenness, nothing but vileness, because of the lawlessness, disobedience to God, alienated from God, hostile to God. But people, the gospel offers you eternal life. Life, people, that begins by feeding on Jesus, trusting in Jesus, and going on feeding on Jesus, and just never comes to an end of the decadence. You know, springtime, God breathes on creation, and everything comes alive again. Well, people, you trust in Jesus, God breathes upon your soul, the deadness goes, the impotence, the powerlessness goes, and new life springs up within you. That, people, is what's promised. That's what's offered in the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. For those, that is, that feed on him, they also will live because of him. So the acquirement of the life that Jesus speaks about, well, the Bible was given to us to instruct us in the way of life. Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. You see, people, our way, our natural way, is not the way of life. The way that you would naturally choose isn't the way of life. It's the way of death, because it's the way of sin. It's our natural bent, our biases towards that way. You see, people, life eternal, abundant, in all its fullness. Jesus says that's what he came for, and the Bible testifies of him. The Bible was given to us to instruct us in the way of life that we might live and not just exist. But again, that life is to be found and to be had in Jesus, not in religion or tradition, but in a person, the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Jesus says, faith, you see, faith feeds upon and unites a person to Jesus and draws out of him what's in him. What's in Jesus? Love and light and life. All of these things that we don't naturally have. I'm sure that you could use a dose of sure and certain and proper wholesome love. I mean the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You see, people, love is not what you see on your television screens or your movie screens. That's called lust. That's called emotional guts. No, people, the love of God that gives and gives and gives, and that gave his Son that you might live in love, that you might have love, pure love, wholesome love, love that never comes to an end. Faith unites a person to Jesus and draws from him that love and light, as opposed to your darkness, the light of the world. You follow him, you'll never walk in darkness, he says. And of course, well, draws from him that life of which I've already spoken. Faith, you see, applies the fullness of the bread of life to our souls and nourishes our souls, feeds our souls, and of course, well, makes us as we should be, wholesome before God. Faith derives, you see, from God. Faith in Jesus, that is, derives from God what he's promised in his word in the Bible to covenant with us. And people, within that is all kinds of wonderful promises, the blessing of reconciliation to God, the forgiveness of all your past deeds, words that were sinful that should never have been, the slate wiped clean. And of course, well, a God with nothing against you, a God who is merciful and pardons, sent his Son into the world that you might have such, that you might have this life. But it's in Jesus, the Son of God, people, not religion, not tradition. All the promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen to him, to those who believe, to those who trust in God's Son. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me, Jesus says, because faith draws and derives everything that God has wonderfully promised in the Bible to those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Faith, people, draws the sweetness of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible for yourself, but again, I invite you to, well, read Mark's Gospel. Get to know, see what Jesus, what he's really like. I tell you, he's the sweetest person. He's altogether lovely. Bible describes him as the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Altogether lovely. He never harmed anyone, never hurt anyone, will never take away from you anything that will deprive you. He will only give you that which is good, and he will only do for you that which is good. He only and ever went about doing good, healing the sick, delivering people from evil, yes, even raising the dead, giving eyesight to the blind, doing all these marvelous, wonderful things. And I tell you, he is still working miraculously and powerfully amongst people who believe in him today. Oh, faith, you see, people, whoever feeds on me, Jesus said, he also will live because of me. Because faith, you see, people, draws the sweetness, all the goodness, the healing power, the saving power, draws from Jesus, the mighty Jesus, the one in whom is vested all power in heaven and on earth. His power is limitless, and so too, people, is his love. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. So people, the bottom line is, without Christ, without Jesus, you're already withered. You're already in a state of decadence, already in a state of death, perishing for want of the bread of life. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, the bread of life. Whoever trusts in Jesus, people, God promises, assures, they shall not perish. God's very purpose in sending Jesus into the world is stated in that verse that is so well known, I guess, to most of you. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Because of Jesus, because he lives, death couldn't hold him. He was crucified, dead and buried, but death could not hold him. Why? He had far too much life in him. He had eternal life in him. He had the life of God in him. He broke the bands of death. And people, because he lives, you too can live. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow, but not without him. Not without him. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Well, why? Because Jesus himself lives. United to him, you have life, people. But without him, people, you are perishing, and you will perish, and perish eternally, everlastingly. Without the bread of life, without the sustenance of life, Jesus himself, that is, you face soul starvation. Many people in various parts of the world are faced with famine, food shortage, no food. They haven't got that which sustains physical, ordinary, natural life. But people, that's one thing. That's bad enough, but to be without the bread of life, to be without eternal life, to be without Jesus, the Son of God, is to face soul starvation. Your soul will perish, and the end of it is nothing but fearful looking for of the judgment of God, the indignation of God, the righteous judgment of God. Because people, to have heard about Jesus, to have heard about the bread of life and rejected the meal, refused to feed upon him, well, you will not live. You will do the very opposite to what Jesus says. He says, whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. But if you don't feed on him, then you will not live. You will face the judgment, the righteous indignation and displeasure of God. It will continue to remain upon you, not just in this life, not just in this world, but in the world to come. So you see, people, a person, a body, needs to be knit to, needs to be united to Jesus Christ to feed upon the bread of life. Because that's the only way that a person will not apostatize, fall away from God, as your nation has, as the national church within your nation has. People, it is a cage for every unclean bird. The Archbishop of Canterbury and all his bishops, all linked to the government, a government that's a worm of filth and uncleanness, legislating for same-sex marriage, as they call it. People, a church that has totally and absolutely apostatized, fall away from God altogether. Why? Because it has failed to feed upon Jesus Christ. The person who feeds on him will never fall away. Person who feeds on him will never die. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me, eternally, everlastingly. You cannot feed on Jesus and perish, apostatize, fall away. But then, people, that which I propose to you, or rather Jesus proposes to you this afternoon, is an acceptable greed. You know, the greed that you have in your nation. Oh, it's not foreign to bankers, politicians, and lawyers. We're all tainted with it. Every single one of us. Enough is just never enough. Doesn't matter how much we've got. We're still lusting for something more. People come from foreign countries where they have poverty and austerity in reality, and they see your shops and they're absolutely gobsmacked at all the stuff that you've got. Food, food, you've never got enough food. No matter how much is put on your plate. No wonder there's obesity amongst us, because there's wholesale greed amongst us. Sinful greed that needs to be repented of. But this is an acceptable greed. To be greedy, to be hungry for the bread of life for Jesus, that's acceptable. You can never feed too much on Jesus. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. Now, the alternative, of course, is the serpent's bread, to eat the food of the world. That, people, that will cause a man, a woman to perish. No. The food that the serpent, the devil, that Satan would feed you, yeah, the food of evolutionism, false philosophies, Darwin's daftness and darkness, and of course, well, Professor Dawkins' delusion, deluded people, fools who say in their heart there is no God. What folly, what darkness, that's the food of the serpent. But Jesus, the bread of life, you feed on him and you will live also. So people, you without life this afternoon, oh, I know you're walking and talking and breathing, that's not life, that's just existence. I mean, are you without life? Are you without Christ? Have you not believed on the Son of God? Well, people, the evidence is all around you. You've got a nation that's in decline, a nation that's absolutely decadent, a world that's in that state. The world is perishing. Go and drink your fill if you will. Jesus says, what will it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would you give in return for your soul? Nah, people, the world's perishing. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. Just a pair of eyes opened. Without Christ, without life, without hope, without eternal life, without God in this world. Oh, people, that's a death-like state, I tell you. Only one person who can put life into your soul, the bread of life, Jesus. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Jesus says so. So turn, people. Turn from what you're feeding on. Turn away from the dross and stubble that you feed your soul with, your perishing, dying soul. And turn, people, not to religion, to a person, to Jesus, the Son of God, the sweet, altogether lovely Jesus. I tell you, do you no harm, do you only good. Turn, people, and feed on him. Whoever feeds on me, he will live because of me, Jesus said. And people, turn to him, feed upon him, and draw life out of him. Abundant fullness of life, dynamic, powerful life, joy and happiness and peace, such as you never, never dreamed was possible. The person who lives in and for Jesus Christ, I tell you, when they die, well, that's gain for them. Person who dies without Jesus Christ, the Bible says, perishes everlastingly. But the person who dies in Jesus is a person who lives in glory with Jesus forever. In fact, for them to die is much better. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. But if you don't have this hope, what is the hope? The hope of glory. Jesus in you. Not Jesus in a manger. Not Jesus on the cross. Not Jesus in the Bible. Jesus in you. Born in you. That's the hope of glory. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again. God supernaturally, miraculously, through His Son, must inject life eternal into your soul. And He does so through His Son, Jesus Christ, who tells us this afternoon, whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, that you might be the recipient of eternal life, that you might believe and live. So, people, the promise is there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Oh, I offer to you again, without charge, cost, obligation to you, copy of Mark's Gospel, yours to take, free of charge. Read for yourself, read about the lovely Jesus, how that he died and rose again from the dead to give eternal life to all who would feed on him, trust in him, believe on his name. You would like to have a copy of God's Word? I'll be gone in just a few seconds, but you come and ask for one. Take it, do it what you will, but it's God's Word. It has the ability to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you this afternoon. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy on your souls.